All right, let's give him some walk-up music. Our guy, Nick Foligno.
Nick Foligno to the Penguin line. Shoots, he scores! Foligno wins it in overtime. This series is tied at two. Columbus is in this thing 2-2. We have a series, Kenny. In Pittsburgh, the thing is called buckle up for the playoffs. They better buckle up now because Columbus is coming down the highway with a whole lot of speed.
I have chills. We go to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. You take a swing in the dark, and this guy just shows up. Nick Foligno is with us. Nick, good to have you. I feel like the Jackets are playing tonight, and the Leafs are playing at the Canadiens, and you're on the phone with us. Something's wrong.
I actually had a couple laughs about that because I was talking to a bunch of people, and they're like, hey, we're just at morning skate. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've been sitting at home for a few. I forget what game day is right now. I'm all messed up, but it's been a wild couple days and a lot of emotions, and yeah, you can probably figure that. And just yeah, it's I'm excited, but also, you know, it's hard to say goodbye right now, and in a lot of ways. So, but yeah. I'm pumped.
You know, we'll get to the trade in a minute, and maybe what you're hoping to get out of it here, and what the future holds for you. But do you really recognize? Can you feel how sad this city is right now? I mean, like, we're like generally feel like, no, on what you mean to this city and what you mean to the culture. You're an adopted son now, and you've given so much to the city. And I think there's a general emotional sadness, not just the player, but the person.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm sad too. You know, I think it's shared in a lot of ways because it just, what we've tried to build here. And, you know, you guys say that I've given a lot to the city. The city has given a lot to me. The fans have given a lot to me, to this team. And it was a heavy heart, you know, yesterday with just being in this position because you feel like you failed the fans, you know, and now we're selling. And, you know, for how many years we've grown and kind of been, you know, spoiled a little bit with the way things have gone here for our team and always, you know, being in the mix, buying guys and going on that run we did and felt like we were growing to go on a bigger one here coming up. So the way it kind of feels like it fell flat this year is just I share a lot of that responsibility and a lot of that sadness. So it's a hard one for me because I still don't think I've really felt it all right now. But I hope people know how much I love this city and how much I love this fan base and this organization and what it's meant to me and my family. And you know, that'll never be, you know, forgotten and we'll continue to support and appreciate everybody here. So, you know, that's probably the biggest thing I'd like people to know and take away from all this. Nick, it's been an amazing 9 years.
Yeah. Thanks so much for giving us some of your time. And I know you're wrapped up in a ton of emotion right now, but I wanted to ask you specifically what it meant to be the captain, because we watch all these games and we see that C on your chest and we hear about, you know, what captains are supposed to do and all of that. But for you, like, what did that mean to be the guy, the leader for the Columbus Blue Jackets for a long time?
Well, it means everything because, you know, someone told me a long time ago, it's like, you know, the team's saying, well, this is what we want people to recognize when they think of the Columbus Blue Jackets. And so to have your, you know, your name or, you know, your sweater be the one that carries that is a huge honor for me. But I think the biggest thing I wanted to try to use it and do with it was bring the pride back that I had to play for this organization and make sure everybody felt that, whether you were, you know, staff or as a player, to come here and be proud to play for the Columbus Blue Jackets like our fan base is and have our fan base be proud of what we were putting on the ice. And that's all I ever tried to focus on. And I think it created a great environment in that room. I had a lot of great guys to work with, and I think that's what helped too. It's not just about me. It was about that the room and the culture that we created in that room and the players that I got to play with. And I mean, it's I feel so privileged to have worn that letter and played with the guys I played with and in front of the fans I got to play in front of. So it's a surreal thing to be told you're a captain, and then especially in this market with how close the fan base really does care about this team. I couldn't have asked for anything better, and I appreciated every moment of it.
Nick Foligno with us, former Jacket, current Maple Leaf, here on Rothman and Ice. Anthony Rothman, Matty Ace Hayes. Nick, you had to earn it. You had to earn it with Torts, though, right? I mean, this wasn't a ready-made deal as far as being a captain. I remember you came into studio, and I looked at you and I said, you know, my definition, you know, of a natural leader is someone who puts his people before himself. And I think you always had that trait. but I wanted to ask you about what it was like to try to earn the right to be a captain on a team that's coached by John Tortorella, and maybe also what you learned most about yourself being a captain for Torts.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great question. And I think the biggest thing that I took away from Torts and what he tried to challenge me with was, you know, in his eyes, a captain has to do it all, you know, and that's just the way it is. Putting people before you is great, but if you're not going out there and doing it and doing it the way it needs to be done, then that's all for nothing. You know, you have to be able to kind of walk the walk and talk the talk. And for him, a lot of it is just walking the walk, you know? And so I think for me, I had so many great ideas, and he's like, you know, you're a nice guy and I know you care, but we need this from you. And then, so he constantly pushed me to try and turn that into it. And that's what I feel like I've really grown as a captain in that regard, is just whatever the team needed, I would try and do. Well, you know, maybe it wasn't great for personal success, but if it was for team success, that was fine by me. And you know, I think it allowed me to have a lot more respect in that locker room and allowed us to play the style and brand of hockey that we needed to play to have success. Because then, you start seeing some of your older players make sacrifices, then everybody jumps on board and makes sacrifices. So I think that's what Torts taught me, and I think that's what I learned about myself, that's what winning is. You know, I think for a while, every team chases how to win in this league, and Torts has done it, and he's kind of brought that mindset to our team of it's all sacrifices that you're going to make, you know, and it's how do you fit in the team and continue to do what you do well, but when the team needs something more, can you give it? And he still pushes for that today, and I think he's made me a better person, better leader, and better player because of it.
Obviously, you know the guys in that locker room very, very well. And now there's, I'm sure, guys looking around for some answers when you lose your captain. Or is there a guy or maybe a couple guys that you look at and you know could step up and maybe take hold of that captain role that you're leaving behind?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think if I did my job right, then you're constantly breeding better leaders. That's the whole point, right, is to bring guys along as you go along this year. And I've been lucky to be surrounded by some pretty incredible leaders, Boone Jenner, Cam Atkinson, Seth Jones, even guys that didn't wear C's like David Savard, Gus Nyquist, Riley Nash. I mean, it's just, you know, I can go down the list too, even Brandon Dubinsky, Jared Bohl. I mean, there's some Derek McKenzie when I first got here. There's a lot of guys that I learned from and took trades from and leaned on during the year. So, you know, the guys now in that locker room, I have no doubt are going to be able to handle whatever comes their way. You know, you have an absolute stud in Seth Jones. Cam Atkinson is a heart and soul guy now and a guy that loves this team and loves this community. Boone Jenner, heart and soul of the team, you know, and just of embodies what it is, the Blue Jacket style that they play. So when you have those guys still in that locker room, the culture's there. You know, and it's disappointing this year. Don't get me wrong. We're all disappointed at how it went. But I know that it's not far off from picking right back up and adding a few pieces and getting us back to where we expected to be.
Nick, I know all teams had it the same this year. You know, the no camp and trying to get stuff done, coming back out of the bubble and just jumping onto a new season. But how hard was it to form chemistry? We heard it from Torts all year that it just seemed like when you had it, you lost it. It was disjointed. How much did the Pierre-Luc Dubois trade? I know you got a big lift once you knew there was closure there when you played Tampa the next night and had a big lift. But describe to us what it was like to try to bring this team together with new faces and no camp and trying to find the chemistry that looked like it had been missing all year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a bigger challenge than we expected and thought, you know. And when you lose, especially in the NHL, the key part of your team a lot of times is up the middle. And, you know, people forget, too, we lost a guy who was a real staple in the NHL for a long time, and Mikko Koivu retiring as well, along with Pierre-Luc Dubois. So, bang, you lose two really important players that, you know, you kind of already understand how we're going to play. Already, you know, Mikko Koivu already kind of played Blue Jacket hockey his whole career, and you watch him. So to lose guys and then have to retrain players and have to have them learn under fire and not really have the camp that you need to have in order to get everybody on the same page. I think, you know, our team early on didn't look too bad. We just obviously stumbled out of the gates with a lot of things that we're trying to work through, but you know, knew that, okay, once we get going, we'll get our footing. And it just seemed that way. We never could quite get a footing. We never could quite, we were kind of playing off emotion a lot of times. It'd be, you know, and I think that's what you saw, the inconsistency start to come. And, you know, we can never correct it. So I wish I had the right answer of why. I don't, you know, you don't blame it on, oh, we brought too many different guys in. It's part of just, you know, the reality of the situation. But, you know, we just could never seem to get that consistency that we were searching for, and everyone playing the style that we needed to play. And, you know, and that's what happens sometimes. It's unfortunate. And, you know, there's no real one finger you can point at something. It's just a culmination of a lot of things. And, you know, it's the reason why we are where we are right now. And it's disappointing.
Nick, you've been a part of some good moments for this franchise. There's no doubt about it. As you've been kind of zooming through a lot of probably your time here as a Jacket, if I were to ask you one of your more memorable moments, maybe on or off the ice, as a member of the Columbus Blue Jackets, what would stick out to you?
Oh, man. I wasn't ready for that. I don't know. There's so many unbelievable moments. I remember when we, even as a team that was, you know, when I first got here, the team that wasn't really supposed to achieve much, and we clinched the playoffs at home. That was when Ryan Johansson was on the team and Derek McKenzie, and that group that was kind of a mishmash of players still trying to find our way, and we clinched the playoffs and had an epic run against Pittsburgh that year. I remember just the building being electric. And then probably the most recent and most amazing is just that sweep of Tampa. I mean, I don't know if that beats anything that I've ever experienced, just with our fan base and being able to celebrate with them in our rink, our first playoff victory, round victory. That's something that will stick with me forever. So there's been so many amazing moments, and I'm probably forgetting about 100 or so. But, you know, I'm going to cherish those ones for sure. In the time that, you know, that was proof to me that we were building it the right way. And, you know, on our way to becoming that team that we envisioned being. And so that's why this is a little bittersweet. It's just that where we are now and what can happen quickly if things aren't rectified.
Couple more quick ones, and then we'll cut you loose, Nick. Nick Foligno with us, the definition of class, jumping on today, as he's got, you know, his heart here in Columbus, and his professional career will continue in Toronto on a first-place team. How old were you when your dad was leaping for the Leafs? Were you like 4 or 5 years old?
I was I think I was, well, 92, and yeah, so I was 5, 6, 7 years old and around there.
And so what does it
I
mean
remember
now?
Well, it's, you know what, it was really cool to have that call with him, to tell him that I was joining the Leafs. You know, it was pretty emotional, and just, you know, obviously I'll be wearing his number as well, since I've been wearing 71 my whole career. That's the number he wore for the Leafs. So there's a lot of nostalgia to it. There's a lot of emotion involved. And, you know, my dad's best year was playing on the Leafs that year. They went to the, you know, conference finals, I believe. So, you know, that was an unbelievable experience for him. So he has a lot of great memories of his time in Toronto. And, you know, and I have a chance to join a really good team there as well and hopefully go on a better run. And I think he's just really excited about that opportunity. And you know, like you said, is mixed emotions. You know, he's sad about what's gone on here in Columbus, but really thrilled for me that I get to go on and play. And I think I know how fortunate I am to have this opportunity. And I appreciate that very much from Yarmo and the organization to allow me to have that.
All right. Well, I'll end it with this, because I think Columbus fans will want me to ask this. So I'll ask it. What are the chances of a round trip ticket and you bookending this thing and maybe being a Jacket again?
Oh, I would love that opportunity. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's something that, if it can work out, would be a great opportunity, and I would welcome it. But I'm sure Yarmo and I'll sit down when the time is right and figure that out. But I gotta, you know, right now my respect and focus has to be on the Toronto Maple Leafs. So for the fans, I know it's not the answer they want to hear, but give me some time to get through this, and then I'll definitely broach that idea when the time comes. So would be thrilled.
As it should be. Go win a cup. We've grown up with your family, your kids. We have fought the fight with you, and just know that this city believes that you are, and your family, always going to be a part of us, whether you're suiting up for the Jackets or not. So thank you. Best to your family, and we hope to visit with you again. Just go win a cup, man. You deserve it.
Thank you, and I just want to say thank you to you guys. I always enjoy coming on here and chatting with you guys. You guys are first class, and I really enjoyed the times and the way you have helped my family and getting our word out sometimes too. So it means a lot to me. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick. Best to you. Best travels and be safe.
Thanks so much, guys. All the best.